Our thanks to Enbridge Gas for sponsoring this podcast. You can learn more about Enbridge Gas and their affordable multifamily housing program on their website at enbridgesmartsavings.com/multifamilyhousing.
This podcast is shared for the purposes of information only. The discussion does not reflect a direct or implied endorsement by Municipal World or its members.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in. From Municipal World, I'm Scott Bogie. This is the NW Shares podcast, where we share the stories of communities from coast to coast to coast. These are the stories of local government, the celebrations of success, the sharing of lessons learned, the cautionary tales, and the keen insights into what lies ahead for municipalities. Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of MW Shares. Today, I'm being joined by Brian Rosborough, Executive Director of the Association of Municipalities of Ontario. Brian has been the ED of AMO since September 2019. Brian's career in public policy and public administration spans 28 years. Prior to returning to AMO in 2018 as director of AMO's Membership Center, Brian served as a senior executive officer of Wilfrid Laurier University's Brantford campus, following a three-year term as Laurier's director of government relations. Brian previously worked for AMO as the director of policy and government relations, and has also worked as an advisor and senior manager in the Ontario Public Service, as well as an independent policy and communications consultant. Brian has appeared on this podcast in the past, and we're glad to have him back. Brian and I are going to be talking about AMO's We All Win campaign and how it aims to increase the share of female and minority candidates in next year's Ontario municipal elections. Welcome, Brian.
Scott, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, let's jump right into it. What is We All Win and what are its primary objectives?
So We All Win, the We All Win initiative is what we're calling it. We thought about calling it a campaign, but that was a little bit too confusing, I think. But, you know, it's an initiative undertaken by AMO that is intended to encourage more diverse candidates for the 2022 municipal elections in Ontario. So what it really is an information campaign intended to reach those potential candidates, in part to show them, you know, what an important role municipal councils play in building strong communities, and, you know, that there's an important place for them in fulfilling that role. So the idea is really to project the message that councils need to be more representational of the communities that they serve, and that really means attracting new voices to the council table. So, you know, one of the things that We All Win will do, apart from the information campaign, is to assemble resources that can be helpful to those potential candidates if they are interested in running. Resources that also help them make up their mind and sort of tap into the supports that already exist in the community. So for us, you know, it really is a long-term commitment. It's going to take time and effort, you know, to affect real change in this way. But as an organization, you know, it's really something that we need to be doing more. And I think this is one of the places where we really can lend a hand to what is an important and long overdue initiative and sector.
Yeah, interesting. I want to park for a second the fact you mentioned it's a long-term effort. But before we go there, let's get into some of the numbers. In the 2018 election, only 27% of the candidates were female. Do you have a target in mind for 2022? And what other metrics would show that We All Win has been successful?
We don't have a particular metric for 2022. We want to make, you know, incremental improvements. And I dare say that, you know, whatever improvements do occur after 2022, we certainly won't be able to take credit for it, because really what we're doing is tapping into something that's happening in communities across the province and other jurisdictions, and really is part of a much larger effort to improve representation in all of our institutions, including municipalities. So really for us, it's a long-term commitment, and we are committed to being involved in it in for the years ahead, because these kinds of changes take time. You know, in terms of metrics, I also think that it's not going to be just about who runs for office in the future, but it's going to be about the experience they have if they're elected. Have they got the resources they need to be successful? Have they, you know, encountered a welcoming experience at the council table? One of the metrics in the future will be, are people willing to run for a second term, you know, given what they've experienced in their first term, given what supports are available, given the kind of differential challenges that marginalized and racialized people experience in terms of social media and that women experience in social media. The overall metric is going to be, how do things change more broadly so that we can have more representative councils and that people can be successful in those, and if they do a good job, can get reelected on councils in future.
Yeah, interesting you mentioned that, because I know AMOS had a lot of supports over the years for existing councillors. So it would be interesting to see what the response is and if they do run again. So in terms of those members that you represent, which are really incumbent elected officials, what is the response from those folks been to this initiative?
It's actually been really enthusiastic. So as you say, we represent municipal councils, and those are comprised of incumbent councillors and heads of councils. But in many ways, I think what we're doing is sort of catching up to them and some of the, you know, some remarkable stuff going on amongst our membership. And so, you know, when we went to the AMO board and said, and this was really a couple of years ago, we need to build these things into our strategic objectives to take on and do more in terms of supports for our members around equity and anti-Black racism and gender parity. We've always had tremendous support. And as I said, in some ways, we're sort of catching up to areas where our members have already moved ahead. You know, Scott, I've probably said this to you before, but I actually believe that all innovation is local. And I think that's very much the case in terms of moving things forward in this area as well. There are many examples amongst our members around youth engagement, for example, around outreach to women and racialized communities. Youth engagement is a really good example. AMO launched a youth engagement strategy a couple of years ago. And what we found is that many of our members were already doing that. What we also found is when you engage with youth communities, they come with a built-in broader representation factor in terms of the fact that, you know, you have this tremendous diversity among youth. And, and so, you know, some of that will naturally progress into those who run for office. We're trying to engage those youth so that, because they're a part of diversity as well. And if we can be successful in engaging youth, then diversity will also follow that path. But our board has been really, really supportive. And in fact, the last couple of years, you'll see this in, you know, the strategic framework that the board has given to us as staff. We are making changes to our education and training program. So as you're aware, following municipal elections, we do extensive training with new councils and new heads of councils. And so we're building in, you know, we're modernizing those, and we're building in an equity and diversity module to those. And we're doing the same in terms of our So You Want to Run for Office promotion that we do. You were at our conference, our virtual conference this year, Scott, and you'll note that I think we did a much better job of bringing diverse voices into that conference. And that's something we're committed to doing on an ongoing basis. And it doesn't happen by itself. It happens through mindful and purposeful decisions. And so I think, you know, you will have seen that this year, and you'll see it again next year. And the board has really said to us, this is not, you know, something we're going to do in 2020 and 2021 and 2022. Advancing these issues of representation is going to be core to what we do as an organization over the long term.
Yeah, that is interesting. And I must say, before moving on, that AMO's conference this summer was fantastic. A really, I think, exemplary way to do a digital / remote conference. So congratulations to you and your team on that.
Thank you.
So let's get into where we're at. You know, Municipal World's October issue had a piece from Dave Meslin, who I think you know, on the current breakdown of municipal councils in Ontario's larger centres. And it's fair to say that most of those communities do not represent their larger populations, their larger communities right now. You think this is indicative of the situation across Ontario? And is it fair to say that we have quite a bit of work to do?
Yeah, no, I think it's a very fair assessment of what's going on across the province now. And yes, we do have a lot of work to do. And that work is, you know, it's happening in communities large and small. So, you know, some of the some of what we picked up on when we were preparing for this was initiatives going on in relatively small communities, but where these issues have been forefront on the minds of many councillors. I think, you know, the municipal sector does have a lot of work to do in this regard. And in some ways, you know, we're different from the federal and provincial systems where, you know, there's, because you do see greater representation, I think, at the federal and provincial level. But in federal and provincial systems, there's a party apparatus that supports candidate recruitment, that identifies candidates, that fosters candidates, and there's a sort of process by which you know, people are brought forward and get involved, where that kind of system isn't in place in the municipal world, because here it's really up to candidates to figure out for themselves if they want to run, what supports they need, and how they're going to go about doing that. And so, you know, what we've heard from a lot of councillors who are committed in this area is that it's a sort of tap on the shoulder, it's mentorship, it's individual councillors identifying the next generation of councillors and reaching out. So, you know, I think we're starting from a different place, a lot of work to do, but, you know, this is just one example of what can be done to, you know, to advance this work.
I'm cognizant of the title of the initiative, We All Win. And I know that you partnered with six other organizations. Why was it important to have so many partners? Was it to essentially get beyond that tapping of the shoulder to a broader community, or are there other things as well?
Yeah, so on the question of partners, it really is about sort of tapping into work that's already been done and shining a bit of light on some of that work and not reinventing the wheel and not duplicating the work of others. And, you know, this is a huge task, but there's a ton of work underway already. So by working with organizations like Operation Black Vote Canada, you know, which has been in this field and making progress for many, many years, you know, we can get their message out. They can amplify our message. It just, I think, sort of amplifies the work that's going on. Same is true of organizations like Proud Politics, and as well, smaller sort of local initiatives that are going on. We've also been working in partnership with FCM for many years around their gender parity work, mm-hmm. and we'll continue to work with them on their new CanWill initiative around women's leadership that's coming out. And, you know, I mentioned our conference. At the conference, we had a partnership with TVO, which your listeners outside of Ontario may not be familiar with, but it's, you know, it's Canada, it's Ontario's educational TV authority, and they assisted us in many ways in our conference. And just last week, they had a panel discussion that they worked with us to develop, where we had four elected municipal officials, all women, three of them racialized councillors, who talked a little bit about their experience. And so, you know, these kinds of partnerships, I think, are really, really important. And if people are interested in seeing that, they can go to tvo.org, look at the program. But I do want to come back, in addition to partnerships, to the name. I was really pleased when this name emerged. And it really is reflective of the fact that you know, better representation at the council table is a win-win-win situation. So, you know, the idea is that we all win when there's greater representation at the council table. We all, you know, everybody wins when you get a council that's truly reflective of a community it serves. And as one of the councillors said on the TVO program, we all win when the most accountable order of government is accountable to everybody. So it really is a theme that recognizes that, you know, if we are successful in improving representation at the council table, it benefits everybody. And you know, I think it's important to really recognize that this isn't just a social justice issue. This is an issue of having more effective councils with stronger local voices and that do a better job of reflecting the communities they serve. And that is an inherently positive development for communities that goes beyond questions of social justice. And I think that's an important thing to consider as well.
You know, one of the interesting things that I don't think gets mentioned much is when you go down that road, you also bring on a much broader skill set and a background of people that really benefits you as an organization moving forward as well. So I think that same will apply for local governments.
Just to add, you know, whether it's at the board table or the council table or the management table, all organizations do better when they are more reflective. And, you know, it's just an inherently beneficial thing. And I think in the same way that organizations and communities, you know, suffer from situations of discrimination and marginalization now, we have an opportunity to benefit if this work is successful. Mm-hmm.
So you were a little bit hesitant when I asked you to come on to talk about We All Win, which is unlike you. Can you tell me why?
Really a very simple issue. And, you know, my voice is not the voice that's missing in the conversation. There are plenty of middle-aged white guys like me who, you know, people have listened to for far too long. And so I was a little hesitant because, you know, of the optics of that. But you were quite persistent. And really, you know, I'm here today really to speak on behalf of the organization that I have the privilege to serve and to lead. And what I really want to convey is that as an organization, you know, the AMO board and the AMO staff are extremely engaged in moving important initiatives like this forward. And, you know, our commitment as an organization is to do a better job of advancing these important issues. You know, our members are change agents, you know, and they have great influence on the communities that they serve. And so we as an organization really need to do a better job of providing those councils with the resources they need to help move these issues forward. So, you know, I'm not hesitant to talk, and I'm always pleased to be engaged with Municipal World, but that was my hesitancy. But as I said, you were persistent. And I'm really glad to be here.
I'm glad I wore you down. And, you know, these things don't happen without strong leadership. And I think that you should take credit for being at least a small cog and getting this going. So, you know, kudos to you and your staff again.
Thank you.
And I'd like to wrap up. I always change gears here, but I'd like to ask this question of all our guests, which is, what's the best book that you've read recently?
So this is really good timing, Scott, because I had a couple of weeks off in October and got to catch up a little bit on my reading. And when I say reading, I have to admit some of that is audiobooks, but it's reading nonetheless, I guess. And so I had a recommendation just before I went on vacation for a book called Real Life by an author named Brendan Taylor, nominated in 2020 for a Booker Prize. A really interesting novel about a Black gay graduate student in the Midwest of the United States. And, you know, a really beautifully written novel, a fascinating experience, and just happens by coincidence to be very much sort of part of the issues that we're talking about today in terms of the fact that it examines the intersection of race in particular. In that experience, but really a beautifully written novel and one that I and a really important story and one that I can recommend to people. So that's Real Life by Brendan Taylor is my recommendation and a book that I really, really enjoyed quite recently.
Fantastic. Thank you. Brian, thanks for taking the time to talk with us today.
A real pleasure. Anytime. Just call me up and ask me. I might say no once, but I won't say no twice. So. Your persistence will pay off. Always a pleasure to engage with Municipal World and, you know, your audience from coast to coast to coast. So really, thanks for the invitation.
The Municipal World Election Team is dedicated to helping you prepare for elections. And we have books, signage, stationery, and other supplies to help make life a little easier for you and your team during this busy time. You can check out the full inventory under election supplies on our shop at municipalworld.com. Thanks to all of you for listening. On behalf of Municipal World, I wish you peace and purpose. We'd like to hear your ideas. If you have a topic that you would like to see covered in a future episode, simply drop us an email at stories@municipalworld.com. Also, don't forget to share and subscribe.